Yes, Bobby Kerr, our business agony uncle, joins us now, as he does this time every week, to dispense advice, all of it sage. Don't forget, you can email your questions to him, agonyuncle@newstalk.com, or text us on 53106. Bobby, you're very welcome to the show.
How are you, Kieran? I'm not in studio with you today, but I hear the snowflake. I hear he's the only man still snowed up in Dunleary who can't get to work. Yates.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah, I know. Ah, the poor fella, look, I think he's a case of the sniffles, Bobby. We'll give him a break. Loads of people, as always, getting in touch with emails and texts, but something we want to start with today is team building, because this is something that people often get in touch about. You know, it's kind of like Marmite. Some people love these kind of away days. For other people, they're an absolute hindrance. What's your point of view?
My view is that I think it's important that people get on well and bond well together at work. I think if you go from sort of A to Z with nothing in between, oh, by the way, we're going off building rafts this weekend, and the guy in the warehouse will be there, you know, helping the person, like, I think. And some people can feel very uncomfortable with it. I think it's something that should happen almost naturally, and I think it shouldn't be contrived. I think that's where people will get cynical, when it becomes, you know, sort of force feeding me pizza and beer on a Tuesday night when I prefer to be home. So I think there are extremes, Kieran, but I do think people who get to know each other outside of work work better together.
All right. Organized fun is always a bad idea. Is there a sense, before we move on to a couple of the emails, with team building, that sometimes it can be used by employers to solve a problem that doesn't exist? You know, if everything is going well, you don't need to kind of drag everyone off to, you know, Clara Lara for the weekend.
Well, I think, like, there are many forms of team building, and as I say, I put going off to Clara Lara for a weekend, building rafts, or, you know, doing extreme sports as the extreme end of team building. I think you really have to do an awful lot of stuff to work up to that. It suits some companies, it definitely doesn't suit some others. I think anything that's force-fed isn't a good idea, in my view.
All right, look, that's your view on team building. As I said, people have been getting in touch. agonyuncle@newstalk.com, 53106 for texts. Otherwise, James in Leinster says, Bobby, I'm a self-employed IT consultant and I'm busy and I'm knocking a decent living out of what I do. It's just me at the moment and there are not enough hours in the day to fulfil the demands of my time. One client who I work with about 2 days a week has offered me a full-time job to run their IT department in a company that appears to be going well. It would mean taking a pay cut initially, and I'd have to drop all the other clients that I've worked so hard to develop. My father says I should be attracted by the stability, but unfortunately this doesn't really float my boat. Would welcome a second opinion.
I think he says it all there in the last line. Unfortunately this doesn't really float my boat. So he knows himself that he's worked hard to build up these clients. He also probably knows that he needs to take on somebody else, and he's at that point that he's developed the business up to a place that he now needs to take somebody else in, which is a risk. And he's been tempted, maybe, by the security of going to work for somebody else, even though at lesser pay. But reading between the lines here from James and Leinster, I think he knows himself. He's worked hard to get as far as he has. He's going to go further, but I think he should ignore his father's advice and stay doing with what he knows he's true to. So no is the answer. Stay where you are, maybe take somebody on.
All right. There's a good one coming in here, actually. Someone, they haven't put their name and address on it. Bobby, we have a big deal happening at work at the moment, which I'm heavily involved in. I'm due to take holidays this Friday for a week, and the deal should be closed, but it's not, for reasons outside of my control. My boss, who's the company owner, said to me this morning that I may need to keep my phone and email on when I'm away. I'm furious, given I've been working night and day on this. What would you do? Why I say this is interesting is, we often talk about this from, I suppose, the other side, you know, that in terms of mental health and everything, people are told, you know, turn off your phone, don't access emails when you're on holidays, you don't need to. This guy, or this girl it could be, has been told by their boss, keep your phone on, I need you.
Yeah, okay, well, there's a couple of things here. Only this person, I would suggest, knows best here. There are a few options. The first one is that you cancel the holiday and you say to the boss, you pay for another holiday, as in, I will make myself available, but I want you to pay for any costs I have around, you know, cancelling my own holiday and pay for another one. That would be one option. The second thing would be that I turn my phone on between 9 and 10 every day, and I look at emails and I do only one call a day. If he or she is prepared to do that, that may not suit everybody. But, you know, I think there's that piece here of this person has worked really hard on this deal, clearly has worked beyond the call, working late, and now has been asked to effectively an intrusion on her holidays. I think it's unacceptable, personally. And I think that if they tell everybody involved in the deal, I'm going on holidays and I'll take a call every day at 9 o'clock or one day at 9 o'clock. But as I say, it's up to that person to decide how flexible they want to be. What will their wife or partner or their kids say? You know, you wouldn't know. That'll be my advice, Kieran. It's hard to call it when you don't know the individuals involved.
Yeah, that's true. And I suppose, look, what I always think of in situations like this is, like, God forbid anything bad happened, but the world doesn't stop turning. You know, work still gets done when people aren't able to contribute anymore.
I think communication here, if you tell people you're going, you change your mobile, your message on your phone, you do a few things like that, you'd be amazed. Very few people will actually contact you because they'll respect the fact you're away.
All right. Well, I hope that texter is happy with that response. Philip in Munster, Bobby, has a question. I've been actively involved in motor racing all my life and I'm a decent enough rally driver. I'm working in sales for many years. I enjoy my job, but I've been offered what appears to be a decent job with a motor sports organisation. But I'm concerned that if my sport becomes my work, it could end badly. Any thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think regretfully or otherwise, once you make that, and again, we all have our own different sports. I'd be a big sailor. I'd be into it. The thought of actually me working on, say, buying or selling boats or something like that kind of leaves me with a kind of a slight chill. I think it changes your relationship with your sport. In other words, it becomes your work. And I think it's, you know, and maybe it's a good job and maybe it's a trade-off you're prepared to take, but I think you'll have a completely different relationship with your sport forevermore. That would be my view.
All right. Well, Bobby, look, thanks for that. I'm afraid that's all we have time for. Bobby will be back as usual next week. Our business agony uncle dispensing the advice.